Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Welcome, my brothers and sisters, again. Going back into our study of the letter J, and this is several studies that the letter J involves. This is a matter of judgment and judging, and what the Bible has to say about this truth. Now, you might say, Brother TV, why are we studying this? This ain't got anything to do with judging or judgment. And as a matter of fact, the things that we are going to study do have to do with judgment and judging and what the Bible says about it, but not necessarily just, for instance, an opinion. Like what we talked about to begin with and how the world thinks about judging and judgment, just being somebody having an opinion about something else. Judgment and judging covers a wide area and variety of truths. And we're going to go over everything that we possibly can in the scriptures in this study to find out, to make things clearer for us and get the whole picture of what judgment and judging is. Now, on our last couple studies that we began with, the introduction, if you remember, just talking about how we was going to go about this matter and how many times judgment and judging and the differences of how it was mentioned in the scriptures, the varieties of the word. And then we defined it on our last one, I believe we did, and went through the different sorts of uses of judgment and how it's described and how it's defined. Today we're going to go into our first category of judgment and judging, and just simply it's entitled a judge. What does the Bible say a judge is? And the different scenarios in the scriptures concerning a judge. Excuse my voice today. I've been trying to get it clear. But a judge. Okay, well, how is a judge defined? Just simply judge. Well, it's an official authorized to hear and decide cases of law. When you say a judge, that's what we're speaking of. An official authorized to hear and decide cases of law. You say that's in the scriptures? Why, yes, it is. But it's in there several different ways that you wouldn't imagine. The first thing that we're going to look at is the history of judges in scripture. Look at some history. The first thing is that judges are family heads in scriptures. We see that in history. For instance, in Genesis chapter 38 and verse 24, the Bible says, and it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. He was a judge. He judged his daughter-in-law, Tamar, the family heads. Some history of what a judge is in Scripture. Well, a judge was considered a family head. We see there that Judah was told that Tamar had played the harlot and she was with a child because she was not married. And Judah decided to bring her forth and let her be burnt. Now, we know in the scriptures that it didn't play out like that because it was Judah, the very one, Judah, the one that had caused Tamar to be pregnant. He went in to a harlot, and she was disguised as a harlot, and she was doing that to kind of mock her, to show her father-in-law that he didn't keep his promise and give her his son to husband. And he didn't keep his word. Well, it ended up that he changed his mind about his judgment and humbled himself and said that Tamar was more righteous than he was. But she was with child of his seed, you see. But nevertheless, when it first came to pass and was told Judah, what Tamar, the situation she was in, he said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. That's a father. So judges in the scripture are family heads. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I started looking into the scriptures. And you wouldn't imagine that in today's society being called something like that. What we're talking about is a judge. What is a judge? Well, a family head is a judge. And we know that husbands in the scriptures, even in the New Testament, are to judge their families and their children and keep peace and have the authority in the family to do things like that. Now, I don't imagine anybody would want to burn their wife or burn their children. Depending on where you're at now. And in the United States, some foolish things like that and incredible things like that are happening now. But what else? What else besides the judges or family heads? Well, judges were established by Moses. That's where judges came from. You say, how did they originate? Well, judges came from Moses. Oh, how do we know that? Well, in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13 through 26, let me read it to you. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people. Now, Moses was the only judge with all of the children of Israel. And you're talking about a couple million. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. This is how many problems the children of Israel have. Now, you go into any courtroom nowadays, and any courtroom, and they got a whole full docket full of people coming in there in every courtroom all day long. So you can imagine Moses trying to take care of this business by himself being a judge. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses judged these problems that these people had by God's statutes and by his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all the people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened unto the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he said, and Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. So you see, that's the same setup that the United States uses. You have people that judge in cities. You have, I don't know all the names of them, circuit court, district court, I guess something having to do with the state, and then all the way up to the Supreme Court, which would represent Moses. You see how that thing sets up? Judges were established by Moses way back in the beginning of the scriptures when Moses was there, and this thing came about from the scriptures. Isn't that interesting? Judges. So talking about a judge, an official authorized to hear and decide cases of law. Did you know that the scriptures had judges? Of course they do. History of judges in the scripture. Well, judges are family heads, and judges were established by Moses. Now, what else? Well, wait a minute. There's one more scripture I want to read to you. Deuteronomy chapter 1, 9 through 17, having to do with this matter of judges were established by Moses. There's another one I want to read to you. Deuteronomy chapter 1, 9 through 17. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and he sure did. There was a couple million of them when they came out of Egypt. And behold, ye are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you, and he hath promised you, as he has promised you. How can I myself, this is Moses talking, how can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? Take you wise men and understanding and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Now let's stop right there. You see how the judges were chosen? The people elected them. Did you see that? And he answered me and said, the thing that thou hast spoken is good for us to do. So I took the chief of your tribes, wise men and known, and made them heads over you. Captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties, and captains over tens, and officers among your tribes. And I charged, even a police force, and I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment of God, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it. So you see, Moses is addressing the people, and he's setting this thing up, having to do with establishing judgment among the Jews, and set up a system for it. And it the harder the case, the closer it gets to Moses. And that's the same way it's set up in the United States. You appeal to a different court. Even Paul in the New Testament appealed to Caesar. Remember that? And he ended up going to before Caesar and witnessing to him and got his head cut off. And he's with the Lord now. Now, what else having to do with a judge? What kind of truth is in the scripture concerning a judge? Well, there are rules for judges. There are rules for judges. Not only was it set up by Moses and a systematic system of judging people and judging their problems, and well, such and such had this on hit on my side of the property, and my cow got loose, and Bobby, and whatever, and it comes to the court. See. And then the real hard cases that the judges of tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands can't handle, it went to Moses. And Moses judged, but all of them judged for the Lord. and judged righteous judgment and did not have respect of persons in judgment. In other words, it was as if they were behind curtains or something, and he was just hearing their cases. And he chose what the law said, God's law said, without respect of persons, that they, pretty girl or maybe a payment or something like that, you know, respect of persons, picking one over the other, or status, or clout, or anything like that. But there are rules for judgments, judges set up in the scriptures. Did you know that? Why, yes, there are. Let's look at some of them. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 18 through 20, the Bible says, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment." In other words, it's right. Just is right. It's not wrong. It's right judgment. It's correct. Correct judgment. They shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. In other words, confuse it or make it complicated. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. Neither take a gift, a bribe or something like that. Neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. So you see this bribery going on and stuff like that. It makes a judge not be able to. It blinds his eyes. I mean, he can't see. He can't see what the difference between good and evil is anymore when he gets a gift, a bribe. It said, "Neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So we see these rules for judges. He's speaking specifically to judges and officers, and that's the same thing we have today. You have judges in the courtrooms, and you have officers in the courtroom. He said, first of all, that you make just judgments, and you make God's judgments concerning things, and you're going to judge these tribes, and you're going to judge the people with just judgment. You're not going to wrest judgment, confuse it or anything like that. It's going to be right. And thou shalt not respect persons one over the other, neither take a gift for a bribe or anything like that. Did you see where that originated? God knows people, doesn't he? He knows human beings and what they're up to and what they do when they get in the courtroom and hand him an envelope, you know, and out he goes. He's free. You can name a few names in history right off the television, watching them, chasing them down the highway and stuff like that, you know. "That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So judges are to have rules that they have to go by. Have rules that they have to go by. When you watch the senators and the congressmen and stuff like that, when people are nominated for offices like judges and things like that, they have to go before the Senate and sit there and be grilled and ask questions about their person and their beliefs and things like that. And when you see that happen, boy, they really get on them and find out what they're like and see what they would do in certain cases and see whether they know the law. And most of them sitting there, when they go to answer, if they don't want to answer the question, they say, well, even when they do want to answer the question, they'll fall back to one basic. They'll say, "I'll take the case and I will apply it to the law. And whatever the law says is what I'll execute." And that's what we're reading right here. That's what the Lord commands. But that's not always the case. And we'll see that on further into our study. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 2 through 13. Listen to this. "If there be found among you within any of thy gates which the Lord God giveth thee, man or woman that hath," notice, there was not a trans anything in there, "man or woman, that hath brought, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods, and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman, which hath committed that wicked thing, unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones, till they die, carrying out judgment of something that's been investigated and found to be true. At the mouth of two or three witnesses, remember what we're talking about, judges have rules. Judges can make judgments concerning these matters according to what God has said and cannot make judgments in matters according to what God has said. And listen to this. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. So one person could not, according to the law, according to what God says, and according to what he teaches these judges and commands the judges of their rules, that one person cannot condemn another person. It has to be two or three that speak the same thing. That was one of the violations that the Pharisees and Sadducees did with Jesus. They couldn't find two people that was telling the same thing and telling the same story as far as witnessing against him when they give him that false trial, but they killed him anyway. The hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people. So thou shalt put the evil away from among you. If there arise a matter too hard for thee in judgment, behold, blood and blood, between plea and plea, and between stroke and stroke, being matters of controversy within thy gates, then shalt thou arise and get thee up into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. In other words, the Lord, if you can't judge this thing, the Lord's going to tell you where to go and what other judgment seat to go to let them judge it. Listen to this. And thou shalt come unto the priests, the Levites, and unto the judge that shall be in those days, and inquire. In other words, take the case to these people. And they shall show thee the sentence of judgment. And thou shalt do according to the sentence, which they of that place, which the Lord shall choose, shall show thee. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that they inform thee, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgments which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall show thee to the right hand or to the left, nor to the left. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priests that stand to minister before the Lord thy God, and unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel, and all the people shall hear and fear and do no more presumptuously. In other words, you don't do what you want to. You do what the law says. And if you can't handle this thing, the Lord will show you what courtroom to go to and who to ask and who to set this problem in front of. And whatever they say, you carry out. You see? This matter's set up. The Lord's got a legal system, and he set it up, and you can see it in our system. I mean, even the corruption and all that kind of gobbledygook, and the Lord covered bases when it came to that. He said, when the judgment comes down, carry it out, whatever it is. And if you can't judge it, bring it to these people, and I'll show you who to bring it to. And he set up the system of the courtroom and set up the system for the judges, and there's rules for the judges. Okay, what else? Well, not only have we're talking about the history of judges in the Scripture. Well, judges are family heads. Judges were established by Moses. There are rules for judgment we see in the Scriptures where the Lord set it up and what to do and never left no confusion about the matter. This is what you do. And there are rules for judges. And what else? Well, some are circuit judges. Now, what is a circuit judge? Well, it's a judge that rides a circuit or walks a circuit or travels a circuit, goes from one place to another place to another place to another place to another place. And he has a regular circuit that he runs and goes and handles all the judgment in that particular place. And when that's all done and the justice is carried out on all the cases there, he'll pack up and go to another place. And he'll do that. Well, that originated in the Scriptures also. Circuit judges. In 1 Samuel chapter, let's see here, 1 Samuel chapter 7, there we go, chapter 7, and verse 6 and 15 through 17, listen to this. And they gathered together to Mizpeh, that's a place, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. And Samuel judged all Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpeh and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. So we see that Samuel himself, Samuel, in the Old Testament, a great man in God's eyes and a great man for the children of Israel, we see that he was a circuit judge. He went to Bethel. He lived in, Ramah. He lived in Ramah. That's where his house was, and that's where he built the altar unto the Lord. But he would leave every year, and he'd go to Bethel, and he would judge there in Bethel with all the problems that were there, and he'd leave there and go to Gilgal. And he would take care of business there and whatever needed to be done through the court and with all the people and the cases there. And he would leave there and go to Mizpeh. And when he was finished there, he'd go back home to Ramah and handle the cases there and judge Israel there. So we see a circuit judge. Some are circuit judges. We're talking about what is a judge. What is a judge? And the thing that we're trying to cover is the history of judges in the Scriptures. Okay? Well, that's not all. One other thing, or several other, but the next one is, kings act as judges in the Scripture. Kings were judges. Yes, they were. They carried out judgment also, not just particular chosen judges and elected judges by the people that they trusted and everything to make righteous judgments and for tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands. But kings were judges. In the book of Kings that we're going to read, Kings chapter 3, the Bible says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Now, who's talking here? Can you guess? This is Solomon. Solomon, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern. Now, here's an interesting truth right here about what judgment is. Listen to this, and this is the wisest man that God says will ever was and ever will be after him. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. That's all judging is making an understanding, a discernment, and making a decision about what the difference is in good and bad in every case, every problem that comes about. Being able to discern, to figure it out, to understand it, to see the difference in what's good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was upon him to do judgment. You see, kings acted as judges. Kings acted as judges. All right, and then Samuel there, the Bible says, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, when Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. You see, and that's when we see that Absalom, when people was coming to the king for judgment, and Absalom stood in the gate, and he was going behind his daddy's back and changing the way that the people thought when they'd come through the gate to go get judgment. He would say something like, oh, I wish that I could be judged. Boy, I'd sure do people good and justice and all this, that, and the other. And the Bible says he turned their hearts away from the king and to him. And it was all having to do with judging people and judging righteous judgment and stuff. And he used that to turn the people away. And that's what eventually caused David to have to run and get out of there for a little while. But God seen all that stuff and that was being done. He straightened it all up. Kings act as judges. What else? Well, Levites are assigned to judge. Now, we know that Levites are specially chosen of God. They had no inheritance. God was their inheritance. And it was a specific tribe, the tribe of Levi. And they'd done all of God's business as far as taking care of his business. All the sacrifices, all the temple business and the court business and all that sort of stuff. Just catered, waited on the Lord, and all the other tribes waited on the Lord to take care of all the other tribes. They were the tribe that was chosen. They were the closest tribe that camped around the temple when they would camped around the tabernacle. Whenever they camped and parked their camp, and all the Levites would be the first ones around, and then all the other tribes would camp around them. But the Levites were assigned to judge. In 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 1 through 4, the Bible says, So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel and the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. That was when they would start their service to the Lord, 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. You see, that's the system that David set up by God's command and design, that set up to do the service of the Lord. And how many and when they were to come to work, they would have time on and time off, and they would come in and keep the lamp going in the tabernacle and do the showbread and go in and light the incense on the censer and just all sorts of business that the Lord instructed them to do, and the Levites would carry them out. But there were 6,000 of them that were chosen specifically to be officers and judges. And judges, you see. Levites were assigned to judge. What else? What else about history of judges in the scriptures? Well, Jehoshaphat established courts for judges. You say, where do courtrooms come from? Well, they come from the scriptures. They come from the scriptures. Did you know all this? Isn't it interesting that we can go through here and find out having to do with history of, I mean, you get on Webster's and get on all these other places and try to search some history about where judges and courtrooms and all this sort of stuff and the breakdown of the systematics of how judges work and the authorities and when to move up to the next judge and up to the next judge and how strong, what the case is and all that kind of sort of business. And it all comes from the scriptures. You can see it. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 5 through 11. We're talking about Jehoshaphat established court for judges. Court. Listen to this. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons. Notice these familiar things that everybody's saying about these rules. Remember the rules for the judges? Nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests, there was them 6,000, and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in your cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. And behold, Amariah the chief priest is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before. So you see, they set that matter up and established court. Court. In other words, he laid down who's going to be what and how it's going to go about and how the judgment's going to be made. Talking about that the Lord our God, no respect of persons or taking of gifts and no iniquity with the Lord, and said, do it in the fear of the Lord faithfully with a perfect heart. And you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, you see. Okay, and what else? We see that Jehoshaphat, he was the one that was doing that matter right there, established court. He put all these legalities together and made a system of court about it. And here's how you do it. Okay, what else about history having to do with a judge in the scriptures? Well, judges were restored after exile. Remember when they went captive for 70 years when they disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord sent Nebuchadnezzar and there was one other that I can't think of his name right now, a Roman, sent them in there and took them captive 70 years. Well, that was when they destroyed the city and stuff like that, but took them captive for 70 years and they went into exile. They weren't at home anymore. The Lord punished them and put somebody in charge of them and took them out of that city and carried them away in exile. All right, judges were restored after the exile. They reestablished the system, and Ezra tells us about that. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 25 and 26, we know that Ezra and Nehemiah, when the Israelites come back from exile, Nehemiah was building the wall, and Ezra was having to do with the city. And both of them kind of work together in that matter. But Ezra chapter 7, listen to this. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thy hand, set magistrates. You ever heard anybody called a magistrate nowadays? There it is. And set magistrates and judges. Set them. Which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach them that know them not. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Well, those are the things that happen today. Death, we have the death penalty, and not as much as used to, but death penalty, where'd that come from? There it is in the scriptures. Banishment, don't do that as much as some countries do. You can send them off to an island, or tell them to go to another country, or kick them out, or whatever, banishment, and to confiscation of goods, bail money, set bail on them, confiscation of goods, or take their bail money and or come and get their stuff or whatever, and imprisonment. These are the things of having to do with court and having to do with judges and their rules, and you see it there. After they come back from exile, and the Jews came back from being in exile, or Israel did, Ezra set that matter back up, set the judges and the magistrates, set it back up, and told them to judge the people. Judges were restored after exile. Okay? All right. Well, I think we're going to stop right there. And we have more that we're going to talk about. The next thing we're going to talk about having to do with judges and the history of it. Not only the history, but we're going to talk about the procedures of judges in Scripture. What their procedures were. You say there's procedures that are given? Yes. Yes, of course. All right. So the first thing, what have we talked about today? Let's recap just a little bit. We're talking about a judge. What is a judge? It's an official authorized to hear and decide cases of law. You wouldn't think that this archaic Bible everybody talks about all the time wouldn't be updated like that, and that things that go on today are a lot wiser and smarter and everything, since all these scientists and everybody else have established that man has grown a lot wiser and intelligent, and has knowledge has increased, and blah, 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 that the scriptures wouldn't know anything about judging in courtroom. Well, come to find out, if they'd read their Bible, that's where they got it from, you see. History of judges in the Scripture. Judges are family heads. Judges were established by Moses. There are rules for judges. Some are circuit judges. We've seen that. Kings act as judges. Levites are assigned to judge. Remember that? 6,000 of them were judges, to do that thing for the Lord. And Jehoshaphat established court for judges. He set that thing up so they'd know how to go about it. And judges were restored after exile. They were instructed of these matters by the Lord and told to go by His rules and the law and the scriptures. And then what they had was the Old Testament then, remember? And they were told to go by that and to make their rules, their decisions and their rulings according to God's word, because they didn't judge in man's wisdom. They judged with God's wisdom, you see. So, and they put trustworthy people in there, and the people are the one that chose them. Remember, the 50s and hundreds and thousands, they said, pick you out from among you, men that are that fear God and are righteous men, and the people elected them and brought them. So, a judge, history of judges in the Scripture. The next thing that we're going to talk about, like we said, is going to be procedures of judges in the Scriptures. And there are many of them. And we'll see them, and we'll see where they come from, and we'll see how they came about. So I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you've got a little more confidence and encouragement from the Scriptures, knowing that the Bible says that the words of God live. They're alive, and liveth and abideth forever. God's word is the beginning and the ending of everything. We can trust His Word, and just because people say that the man's getting smarter and all this sort of business and all this blah-bitty-blab and everything else, you know, some of the judgments and justice and things like that that's going on today, you can see, looking into the Scriptures even today, what we've looked into, you can see the whole setup as you go into a courthouse or you read through the news how procedures are carried out and all this stuff. We see that. But I think that the Scripture would be ashamed of some of the matters that are carried out and how they're carried out and things like that, having to do with the system today, as corrupt as some of it is. I know we got good judges and judges that have character and will do the right thing and that can still judge between good and evil, but there are many that won't. Not that they can't, but they won't. And notice those things that kept coming up. Bribery, taking of gifts and stuff like that, and respecting one person over the other, a rich person against a poor person, or a person that's got stout and clout and got reputation and stuff like that to a nobody. The Lord says that's not the rules, and don't you dare do that. So, you see? In the Scriptures, judges all over the place, and set up the courtroom, set up the procedures, how to elect the men, and what reason all this matter was done. We've learned quite a bit today, and we're talking about judging and judgment and judging, judgment and judging. So we'll do some more pretty soon, and we'll come back together on the next recording. And we'll talk about procedures of judges in the Scriptures. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. God bless you for honoring your Lord and reading His Word and studying His Word. He'll honor you in return for that. Isn't our Lord so good to us? All sufficiency in all things. That's what we have. Because we have a good God. The one and true living God. I'll talk to you soon on the next one. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.